Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Well, in this first half of the show, we'll do a little Mr. Brightside. I think it'll make you guys all feel better. And also, we have a fan who's quarantined in Italy, so he's going to tell us all about how that works. You think you had it bad here. First, I'll tell you about DC Universe. DC Universe, here to save the day. You can watch DC series and movies. You can read over 22,000 digital comics. And also, content. Other fans go back and forth, engaging community forums. Sonny's pumped because he's watching all the DC movies now during his downtime, and that's good for daddy. They got an amazing lineup of hit original series, classic series, movies, adult animated series. It's all there. Doom Patrol, Titans, Swamp Thing, and more. Harley Quinn season 2 premieres on April 3rd, so that's coming right up. Get the latest news, special guests, and watch DC Daily and tune into their podcast as well. Available on Xbox, Roku, Amazon Prime, Google Play, Apple Stores, I should say. You can enjoy DC content anytime, anywhere. Right, Dawson?
Get a free 7-day trial plus 15% off your first 3 months with promo code Adam at checkout. Go to dcuniverse.com/join and use the promo code Adam at checkout. Again, that's dcuniverse.com/join and use promo code Adam at checkout. Valid for monthly subscription only. Expires 5/31/20. From Adam's house and Gina's house and Brian's house, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Green Beret Jason Van Camp. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, plus a round of Mr. Brightside. And now, hail you cool cats and kittens, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning and thanks for hanging with in the middle of this weird mixed sort of blessing that we're all experiencing. And I'll tell you why we've gotten into it before. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Yeah.
I say mixed blessing because I had a sort of double whammy. I had Patrick Dempsey just like went, hey, I was watching the Carol Shelby doc on Netflix. Thinking of you. What's going on? How you doing? And I realized, oh, yeah, he's the busiest guy in the world, except for he's not busy now. And he's doing something he's never done in the 22 years I've known him, which is just a kind of, hey, what's up?
Reach out.
Just like a reach out. So he's a car guy. I'm a car guy. He makes car docs. I make car docs, and we start talking about some projects to work on. And I was just trying to email Max Zapata. Maybe I can do this without interrupting my thought. But the Home Depot, I had this weird, I have a weird relationship with the Home Depot, which is I'm not going into the Home Depot because I don't need anything, but I do drive around the Home Depot and look at it like an old boyfriend does with his girlfriend's house in high school. I just park out front and beat off, you know, sure. And then a single tear comes down my left cheek and then I drive off into the night. I don't know why the Home Depot is some sort of yardstick to measure society and sanity. Like as long as there's people going into the Home Depot, I know the apocalypse has not been envisioned or isn't fully developed. But as I, that's right. I'm just holding the radio, wearing my duster, boombox. Got the I got the little Home Depot guy, the little short guy with the big nose and the ball cap on. He's next to me.
Sky peeks her head out.
I asked him what aisle the wax rings are in, the toilet wax rings. And he says, I don't think we have those. And then I say to him, oh, you definitely have those. Which aisle? And he goes, I don't know. I just started and I work in the plywood department. So, Max Fett, I'm going to try to send you a picture, which I'm obsessed with. What's your real name again, son? Jesus Christ. Oh, there it is. Yeah. So I took a picture.
My email address after this.
I took a picture out front, and there's a guy just, he's set up. He's got his umbrella set up. He's got his fruit stand set up, and he's just serving everyone who comes in and out of Home Depot. In my world, I just want some clarity. Like, is this guy providing an essential service, or does it matter? Or do we not care? Uh-oh, Phil's just entered the room and he's on the move. So I'll warn you about that. Anyway, in the happy thoughts department. So I was driving home from the shop. For those of you who are like, well, what are you doing at the shop? Oh, there it is. Yeah. I'm like, well, no one's in the shop and I own the shop. And I just get out of my car and I walk into the shop and
you're home away from home.
I look at car tires for a while. And then I turn around and I hopped in the car and I called Patrick Dempsey. And we're having this lovely conversation about movies and racing and all that kind of stuff. Again, conversation we just wouldn't have had given both our schedules. We had a 40-minute conversation. And as I was talking to Dempsey and driving down a street in my neighborhood, who do I see? Mark Geragos. He's walking both dogs. Now, I have seen Mark Geragos's wife. I have seen her circumnavigate my neighborhood 700,000 times, but I've never seen Mark Geragos walking his dogs in the neighborhood. Well, why is that? Well, because Mark Geragos is always on a plane. He's always going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he had his big Beats headphones on, and he had his two dogs, and he was just trucking down the street. And now I had a first world problem. I got Dempsey on the phone. I'm in the car. Do I stop and have the conversation? No, I do, like, hold on. It's Mark Geragos walking his dog. So anyway, I just kept driving. I didn't stop. I'll catch Mark at another time. So that was kind of, you know, one of the byproducts of this event is having long form conversations with guys that you haven't talked to in a while. Like, wasn't all business. We started talking about Spa racetrack in Belgium, and he was telling me how majestic it was and how incredible it was, and just had a nice chat, life, cars, you know, docs, and beyond. And again, if Mark Geragos is walking his dogs, we are down, because that guy is the most up. That guy has 15 jobs every 10 seconds, and if that guy is taking his dogs out for a stroll around the neighborhood, We are officially down.
So who do we believe, the produce guy at Home Depot or Mark Geragos? Is the world ending or not?
I have no.
It's a billable hour,
which
man.
Is it? Yeah.
I'm sure somebody was getting billed. I'm sure Chris Brown was getting charged for that walk. I have no idea how. You know, I mean, to make an argument for the produce guy out front of Home Depot, you know, you can go into Chipotle and get a burrito and walk out. So you could do that. I don't know how it works. I also got a note from a fan that said she'd watch the Shelby doc with her dad, which again would have never happened. None of this would ever happen. No young lady would watch a Shelby doc with her dad and then have her dad stop and explain things along the way. That's one of those nice moments. Other thing I was thinking about was we're going to have, Jason Van Camp on, and he's going to tell us Green Beret and blah, blah, blah. And he wrote a book, and I don't have the title in front of me. I'm going to find my paperwork in a second. But basically,
deliberate discomfort.
Sorry, say it again.
Deliberate discomfort.
You broke up a little. Deliberate discomfort, right?
Yes, how U.S. Special Operations Forces overcome fear and dare to win by getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
The deliberate part, the self-inflicted part, it's something you've heard me talk about quite a bit over the last few years. And it really struck a chord a million years ago when I was talking to Dr. Drew doing Loveline, and he was saying, oh, we have the picture of Phil and the horse and Garagos and his dog. We'll put it up there. It's a Twitter picture that reminded me of something. There's a picture of Phil who went for a walk, found a horse, and decided to give him a kiss. It's like, there's Phil's whole thing is, if you're one of God's creatures, he's saying hi.
He's in.
He doesn't care how big you are. He doesn't care if you're showing your teeth and barking, or he doesn't care if you're just a housewife walking down the street, yeah, or you're a 7-year-old. He's checking you out.
When we brought Tessa over to your house to do the pool plunge, Phil told Tessa hi, and how he got on top of her, knocked her down, and was licking her down.
He knocked a kid down.
At the very least.
He knocked this poor 5-year-old like down the horse trail the other day. Like, it's just, he can't. I should be a better father, a better coach, a better owner, a better master. But either way, he's going to say hi to everybody. And there's just this picture of a horse just sort of hanging its head over a fence, and Phil's back. You know, Phil can make himself 4 feet high if he needs to. And he's just up giving the dog, he's giving the horse a lick. But anyway, so many, many years ago, and then Garagos did the same horse with his dog saying hi too. He said the horse is a hoe. He sent that out on a tweet. Many years ago, when one of the first discussions I had with Drew was the M&M test. And he just went, oh, you know, you take kids, you give them 10 M&Ms, you tell them they can not eat them for a day, they'll get 20. Some version of that, delayed gratification. And I remember just thinking, every single friend of mine would have gone for the M&Ms. That's the through line. And all my unsuccessful friends was, they're taking all the M&Ms and they would start eating them before you even finished explaining what the experiment was. And then later on, their plan would be to either talk you out of the other M&Ms that were promised if they delivered on their end of the test, or like roll you in the parking lot and try to pull them off your person. But either way, that M&M thing really just, It snapped it into focus to me. Like, this was the problem with everybody I knew. This is their whole problem. They could not say no and delay anything. And then that sort of delayed gratification in a kid, then as an adult, you kind of understand the delayed gratification. You go out to dinner. If you order dessert, you don't get it before the entree. Whereas a kid would want the hot fudge sundae just sitting there. But the next step in the delayed gratification is kind of the self-inflicted pain. Like, it is making things hard on yourself and having to overcome that, and then being sort of okay with that position. I mean, think of the people that are so uncomfortable when they don't really even need to be uncomfortable. You know, think of all the people that everything is just such a major thing in their life. Like, oh, the one store was closed, I had to go to the other store, whatever. But you got in your air-conditioned car, you drove 7 blocks, you were at the other store. But think about those people, and then think about the people that are constantly, intentionally making themselves uncomfortable. And I now realize that's kind of the key. That's kind of the key to success, is to impose it on yourself. My whole family was uncomfortable when I was young, but it wasn't self-imposed. Right. God smote them, or smit them, or smited them, or something. The point is they didn't have money. They couldn't afford air conditioning. But inflicting it on yourself, that's the key. And everyone should think a little bit, again, whether it's the cold shower or, you know, doing little things like those, what are those wall sits? You know, when you put your back up against the wall, squat down, and see if you can pull.
Yeah, wall chairs, wall sits, yeah, wall squats, whatever, yeah.
Do that, and when your right leg starts trembling, see if you can do it for another 10 Mississippi.
Right.
Just because.
And it's like, It's like you said the other day, you know, you do the time or you let the time do you. A good example of that is just daily quarantining. Like, well, I guess I'm a piece of shit now and I watch TV all day and I eat snacks all day. Don't get that drop. Or you could actually, you could put yourself on a schedule and you, maybe you don't watch TV until the sun goes down. And maybe you do set your alarm, you know, right, just so you're not turning into a blob mentally as well.
Yeah. Do little things like, I'm not going to turn the TV on until the streetlights come on.
Right.
Or some version of that.
We talked to Vinny yesterday. Yes. What's going to the gym and what's dieting and what's eating right? You know, it's all doing it to yourself, making yourself uncomfortable for hopefully a payoff down the road. You'll be healthier. You'll be stronger, whatever.
Let's see. Chris, who's on the line?
I'm Eric Nichols.
He'll be on the line any second. I was just feeding you guys some.
Oh, he's not on. He's not on yet.
Yeah. So for those listening, we have a guy named Eric Nichols. He's in Italy. He's a fan of the show. They just finished their 20th day of lockdown.
Oofa.
And so he's gonna video chat in, kind of explain what's going on over there. I mean, he can't do what you did, Adam. He as far as walking the dog, they can only go 200 yards from their house.
Wow.
To walk their dog.
You know, the best day. This is the best time for anyone who has an ankle bracelet, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, bitches, we're all stuck. Yep. They're actually doing the time. Like, they're actually, you know what? I don't know where you guys are at, but anyone who's confined to their home because they have an ankle bracelet, we're stopping. You're off the clock.
This shouldn't count.
If you had 4 months on that thing, we'll just stop it right when the quarantine went down, and we'll pick it up again. We'll like prorate it.
That's good.
Isn't counting.
You know what? That's good because I heard a story the other day where some company was trying to force their employees to take their vacation days during the quarantine.
No.
You can't do that.
Shouldn't count.
Can't do that.
So this is the other way. This is the other side of that coin.
Right. I completely concur. And if anyone who worked for me had vacation days, I still wouldn't impose them. Fortunately, nobody gets any vacation days, so I can't impose it.
It's called Laguna Seca.
That's right. So, and now, boy, everything is out of kilter. So hopefully the Rolex
Historic will stay up. Yeah, what's up? It's too early to know that.
No, I was talking to Dempsey about the schedule and the racing schedule and what was going on and what his team was doing and blah, blah, blah. And we just haven't found out anything. Look, my educated guess is when we come back to normal, we'll come back super fast. I don't think we're going to ease into it like other people think, or ease into it to me means 4 days. Like, we'll just get back. We have such short memories. We just go right back to whatever it is we were doing. And I think this is going to happen. I think it's going to happen sooner than we think, but I don't know. And there's obviously a fundamental problem, which is we have an election coming up. Well, there's a perfect witch's brew of no politician is going to go on record as saying, go back, whatever. I mean, Trump tried it a little bit. He got destroyed. He's not doing that. Nobody's going to do that. Who wants to be that person? No politician is going to make that decree where they go, safe enough. I think it's time we can start. Nobody wants to be on record. We have an election coming up. Neither side is going to do that. We, unfortunately, have crafted a society where there is no downside to just doing this in perpetuity politically, but there's a bad downside if you jump the gun. So So we have a combination. To me, it's kind of a three-parter. We have the news, which is making more money than they've ever made. I think I heard like CNN's numbers were up 80%, you know, so they want to keep it going and happy, safe, you know, thoughts. Good news is not going to keep it going. So we're going to get a lot of bad news. That's for sure. The politicians are going to be down with the bad news too, because the aforementioned election and all optics and everything else. And the experts are that way as well. Like, you think about if you said to a fire expert, do you think every house that's constructed should have a 2-hour burn rating, a solid core door with a 2-hour burn rating, and a pneumatic closer, like in a hotel room. Like the reason hotel rooms have the pneumatic closers for fire, to keep the door shut. If the fire starts in the den and the door's shut, you got a 2-hour burn rating on that thing, you got a much better chance of getting out of that house. So if you talk to an expert would go, yeah, it'd be a real good idea to put a pneumatic door closer on every door in the house and a heavy duty solid core door. And you go, okay, that's what the expert says about fire, which is totally true. 100% true. But if you had to live in the house with the pneumatic closer and you're going in and out of your bedroom and the door was ka-chunking behind you, or you're coming in with groceries and you're trying to push through the door, or you're going into your den and you had a tray, it wouldn't be great for you. Mm-hmm. But you would both be right in the sense that you would want those pneumatic closers removed. And the fire expert would definitely be correct when he said this will slow down the spread of the fire. If you just put these on all the doors in your house, it will dramatically decrease it. Now, this guy says it's going to dramatically decrease the spread of the fire. And you go, okay. And now the news agencies run with it and they go, here's the news on fire spreading in houses. And then the politicians watch the news and go, well, here's the side I'm on. Mm-hmm. I'm on the pneumatic closer side. Now, my thing is, your garage door, if it leads into your residence, like if you don't have a detached garage, if your garage door leads into your home, and Gina, you're kind of a carport gal.
You know.
Yeah. Okay, Brian.
I have a detached garage. Can I tune out?
Okay. Who are the winners who have the garage that's attached?
I see no hands.
I feel like it's better to have the detached garage, no?
My garage is attached to my house.
Ooh. Yeah, I've been to Dawson's house. All right, Brian, listen up.
I'm all ears, buddy.
No. So I'm the fire marshal who says, well, I get it, having pneumatic closers and a burn rating on your 1¾-inch exterior door in all the rooms, like to the kids' room and to the den and stuff, that would be better. But kind of a little impractical, and it'd be hard for the family to walk around the house and all that. Why don't we just have the one door that goes from the garage into the house, a burn rated door, like a 2-hour burn rating with a pneumatic closer. So the car's in the garage, it's combustible. By the way, when we all get electric cars, this code will never change, by the way, but cars have a tank full of gasoline and they're parked and it's attached to your house. Also, what would be better is in a garage, the drywall on the ceiling, if your bedroom's above it or there's a two-story house, double thick drywall. They want a longer burn rating for the drywall in the garage, and they want a self-closing door with a burn rating in case the car, which is filled with gasoline, catches on fire. And that's like, well, that's sensible. Sure. But wouldn't want to double the drywall up in the living room because there's a kid's room above it, because it doesn't have the same potential.
Yeah.
And so my thing is like that's the way I approach life, but we are in a fire marshal, expert, politician, reelect, and news agencies making money hand over fist. It's not going to be one of those three entities that's going to get it to go away. We're going to have to just start experiencing this in a more personal, realistic way, and kind of realizing, Mark Garagos is out walking around and I could probably stop and shake his hand and not die. All right, Max Pata, do we have our caller up, or are you just going to put it on the screen when we
do? Yeah, I'll put it on the screen. He's having some trouble connecting. I'm talking to him right now through email, so we're trying to get him through.
I'm looking. I have this huge pile of papers next to me, and in some place I threw the rundown down, but I don't have this fella's name in front of me, do I? Or am I making
it really spiritual?
I'll put it on your chat screen if you want to open up the
chat. Just open up your chat. There's a bunch of stuff on there.
Oh, okay. I think I have my chat opened up. Is it not on?
Oh, no, you don't. It has all his says Eric Nichols, and then it gives his information.
Oh, okay. Calling from Sorrento near Naples. Quarantine pushed Smith.
April 4th.
I feel like I have everything here. Oh, what am I not? I don't see his name, or is everyone's?
It's at the very top.
Oh, Okay, Chris, can you make that B, please? I think maybe everyone's screen reads out a little different.
Yeah, I think your font is a little bit larger than everybody else's, so that might be.
Goddamn right it is, and it's wider, too. Yeah. All right, well, go ahead and do something with my screen where I can have this human being's name on it, for the love of goddamn Christ. Oh, Eric's at the bottom now.
Tile him up on your chin, dog.
Eric Nichols. All right. You're trying to get hold of him. What do you want to do then? Do you want to?
Why don't we go into Mr. Brightside, and then we can get to Eric after the break.
Okay, let's do Mr. Brightside then.
All right, wasn't ready for that.
Sorry.
Life got you down? Can't catch a break? Thinking about ending it all? Well, don't. Let Adam turn your frown upside down. It's time for Mr. Brightside.
Max Back, can you put his entire name on the screen just so we can do that?
Yeah.
Thank you, please. Go ahead.
All right, so the first one, this is a tweet we put out for video messages, and Kevin sent you, he posted a video. He wrote stuck at home, his neighbors are making a lot of noise, and he has a video here, and you can just see what's going on with all the construction.
So okay,
you need some cheering up.
Wow, it's in his bathroom. Sounds like they have a common wall.
Oh, that was upsetting.
Is that
poor baby crying?
It seems like the neighbor in a condo.
That would be my guess, because that was extremely loud, and they were in their bathroom for presumably the best sounds. You know, the best.
Yeah.
So he wrote, stuck at home, and the neighbors are completely gutting their house. Nonstop construction for the past 3 weeks. How do I salvage any sort of relationship with these monsters once they move in?
Well, speaking of salvage, they might have a good sink or bathtub that they've dragged out to the curb that might look
like
your house. So there's my salvage, Mr. Brightside. He's saying neighbor house. Could it possibly be the house next door?
I don't know if they said where this is, but when I lived in Manhattan Beach, the houses are right up against each other, and it was constant construction, and it was miserable. So depending on his neighborhood, it's like window to window.
Yeah, but man, that really sounded like a condo with an adjoining wall. Anyway, whether he means house or condo, whatever it is. All right. First things first. In a world where there's a lot of professors and attorneys that are down right now, the guys that are still out there working are the plumbers, electricians, the tradesmen. Like, if anything good comes of this, maybe a little Mike Rowe-esque respect and support for the trades. Maybe the notion that, you know, we don't need a provost of diversity at Harvard. That person we don't need, but we do need plumbers, and we do need carpenters, and we do need people that can unclog a main line, and we do need people who can fix things and install washing machines. And, you know, when your hot water heater blows up during this quarantine, some dude's got to show up in a van with a hot water heater and install it. And if anything, maybe a little respect and a little also look a little, maybe we'll start to learn that we need those guys. You can't outsource them to India. And when the shit goes down, all the sort of non-essential folks shut, you know, every college campus is shut down because it's really not that essential. I mean, you can go home and open your computer and keep your learning going, but the hot water heater couldn't wait on that. I mean, imagine if that hot water heater took a shit. Imagine if our hot water heater took a shit and we had to wait until this whole thing was over before we could get that taken care of.
We knew someone out that day.
Imagine if your main line backed up and you needed a router guy. Like, you literally didn't, your toilet wouldn't flush and your sink wouldn't drain. Like, imagine this with that. Or just imagine, I don't know, the dishwasher, your washing machine's on the fritz, or your stove won't ignite. You can't get the burners to light up, the tick, tick, ticker things on the fritz. Like, imagine how fucked we'd all be. Look, if Mark Garagos walks his dog around the block another 1,000 times, we'll live. And if the guys, you know, if the vice principal, my kid's school, stays home and watches a little U porn, we'll make it. But if that main line backs up, we're fucked. So yep. maybe this will be a little window into not only more people having a respect for the trades, but wanting to join the trades where they can still make good money when the shit goes down. So I would say that it's at least it's opened up the trades. And also, as annoying as this is, everything in real estate is about comps. It's yeah. all comps. It's literally what's the unit above you. If it's a condo, what's the house next to yours? What did that sell for? And if somebody is working the shit out of their property or their condo or whatever it is, and that is adding to their comp, then if it adds to the price of their unit, your shit just went up, whatever their shit went up, whether it's a house or a condo unit. So as shitty as this is, it's adding value to your residents.
And yeah, just explain that to the infant and everyone will be fine.
We'll talk about the intentional discomfort, like the discomfort that comes from, I don't know, 3 months or whatever of redoing their unit is going to pay off when you go to sell yours.
Absolutely. And I'm still curious, Chris, if we can find out whether that is the adjoining wall or that's literally a different, it's a different
structure,
like physically dwelling, apart yeah. from that one, because that is goddamn loud.
We'll
Although there's shit going on. Like my Sonny just said to me, like, what's going on across the street? I'm like, that's a chipping hammer, boy. He thought it was like a chainsaw or something. And I was like, it's a chipping hammer and somebody's chipping away on concrete. Like someone's doing some plumbing.
Well, and speaking of that, you know who's not obeying social distancing? Are the construction workers, because there's a lot of construction going on right now. I think they are really seizing the opportunity with the less cars on the road, and people are just nose to nose, shouting at each other, chit-chatting, standing around. They don't give a shit.
Those guys don't, although one guy tested positive who's building the Rams Charger Stadium.
Oopsie.
But I don't know what that means. But yes, those guys are still moving ahead. And again, they're eating pineapple from some guy from Nicaragua who carried it there in his pants. And they're eating off the Roach Coach. Those guys are fine. All right, what else we got, Max Spada? Who else?
All right, this is a video. Let's just watch it. This is Scott.
Adam, get it on. No choice but to get it on. I'm stuck at home. The wife had to work. So I'm in charge of filling all her bird feeders.
Look at this, like dozens of bird feeders.
That's not that bad.
That sounds downright pleasant.
He's got square footage, man. He's got acreage.
The birds are out literally chirping.
Yeah, he's in the sun. Also, I don't know how much feed a bird can go through. I feel like you wouldn't have to do it every day unless a raccoon gets up there. If anyone wants to delight themselves, look at like raccoons trying to defeat bird feeders and that kind of stuff. It's awesome. Like when other animals try to get into that territory where the bird feeder is, they get really smart and really dexterous really quick. All right. You have a wife who's working.
True.
That means she's essential, right? Like she's got to have, unless she's a trucker, but I'm betting if your wife has to work, that means your wife has a fairly important job. And also, I'm going to take it a step further, because if a male has to work, a male could be driving a truck or could be aforementioned taking a router to flush out a main drain or something like that. I feel like a woman with an essential job is even more important. I would tend
That's
to think
I like to hear.
Something a little more, I don't know if it's more important, but makes a few extra ducats and is a little less pedestrian. You know what I mean? Works at some chemical lab or something like
doctor,
that.
Doctor, nurse, something like that.
Something like that. So A, your wife is out of the house. Good news. B, she's making money. C, she gets to be a hero because you're telling everyone, oh, everyone needs Anita. She's got to be there. This whole country would be fucked if Anita didn't go to work. So you have that. And meanwhile, you're left alone. And all you have to do is put some seed in a couple of cylinders twice a week and you're covered. That's pretty damn good.
We should all be so lucky.
We should all be married to Anita. I've just decided that's her name.
I need a break.
One more, Maxipata.
All right, this is from Candace, and she just wrote, my son, Tanner, he's 12. He's stuck at home and hates homeschooling.
Mm. Hi, Mr. Brightside. I'm Tanner from Arizona, and I don't like micronation. How can you help? My mom made me do this.
Good boy.
All that kid wants to do is masturbate.
And his mom's filming him, so he's going to have to at least take a break. Okay, well, first off, you've been immortalized on this show. So later on, when I'm long gone and the coronavirus is long gone and everyone's long gone, you'll have this little snippet of your mom putting it on the Adam Carolla show. You're home from school. Everything's got to be better than at school, even if you're being homeschooled. You know, you can't compare it. I would look at it this way. If getting up in the morning and catching the bus or taking that shower, packing your lunch or whatever goes along with going to school is, if that's a 10, even if homeschool's an 8, it's still lower than a 10. I mean, I guarantee the most stringent homeschool parenting would still say you could watch TV during your lunch break. You get a half hour for lunch. You can watch your shows for that half hour. Well, when do you get to watch TV at school? When did you ever see TV at school? The biggest, the most exciting day of my life at school is when they would roll in a TV. Remember that?
Of course.
The 14-incher.
Right. And it's like, first off, we're not going to watch Speed Racer or Mannix or anything cool. We're going to watch some, you know, tutorial instructional video, but just the notion of looking at something that was plugged in. So no matter how bad homeschool is, your dog wouldn't be with you if you were in the classroom.
There's no couches.
You couldn't watch TV during your lunch break. You couldn't get up and make yourself a bowl of cereal while mom was waxing on about the periodic table or something like that, right? Like, there's many advantages that you are not realizing. Dropping a deuce in your own familiar toilet. Not having a weird bully guy, you know, catch up to you in the hallway. No chance of getting your bike ripped off from the bike racks. These are all things. Now, what would be nice, and I would argue maybe we should implement this. Mm-hmm. The best day of my life, school-wise, would be either when they wheeled in the TV or when we had the substitute.
Oh,
maybe there should be a substitute mom exchange program where you just come downstairs from your bedroom one morning and there's a strange woman standing in your kitchen and you're like, homeschool substitute. And you're like, oh, okay. And your mom would go off and work some other part of the neighborhood just to give it that sense of authenticity, Brian.
No, it's good. I like that. You wake up in a complete stranger in your house. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. No downside to that.
Dave's going to be delighted, Dad.
Indeed.
Because you can get a lot done during that half hour lunch break. Turn your shows up real loud, son.
Watch the next episode.
Yeah, go ahead and binge. All right. We'll come back on the break with Eric Nichols right after this.
The Adam Carolla Show salutes the winners of the COVID-19 pandemic. This one's for you, Amber Heard. For years, you convinced us that Johnny Depp was crazy, an abusive husband who did unspeakable things to you. Most of America felt sorry for you, and you bathed in the warm glow of sympathy. And now we find the shoe on the other foot. You're the crazy one, Amber. And all that stuff Johnny Depp said about you is most likely true. And there's some really sick shit there. Thank God for coronavirus, or you might be in national news every night. The gift Corona gave to Amber Heard? Silence. So while we're all losers, you are the winner of COVID-19.
So goddamn true. Good call, Dawson and Lynch and Maxipata and all who are involved with that funny bit. All right. So Eric Nichols is in Italy, Sorrento, Italy. Eric, can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, Adam.
Good. Good to speak to you. Thanks for joining us.
Of course.
So you're day 20 of the quarantine.
Yep.
And what is the quarantine there for you? Give us some of the rules that we that may differ from ours or just the general rules.
So on the March, around March 10th, we were told we cannot go outside except for four reasons. Supermarket, to go to the pharmacy or doctor's appointment, to walk the dog or check on like loved ones. And then to go to and from work for the shops that are still open. In order to do so, you need to have your ID card and then the document that basically you declare the reason why you're going out. And if you get stopped, the police want to see why you're going out and then they sign it.
Do the police drive Ferraris or Lamborghinis? It's unclear to me.
Both.
Did you, you're in Italy for what business?
No, I moved here 10 years ago to open up an English school. So I teach English.
And everybody I talk to who teaches English, whether it's in China or in Italy, doesn't need to speak the native language, which I find alluring because it's like, you mean I could move anywhere and teach English? But is that true?
Yeah. In fact, it's better that you don't speak English because they want more than anything. They, you know, they've never, I actually taught elementary school in California. Not once have they asked me for my credentials or my degree. The fact that I'm a mother tongue English speaker, that's all they care about.
So, what is your living environment like? Are you in an apartment? Do you have people in proximity to you?
Yep. I have a 5-story apartment.
In general,
five stories.
Yeah. In general, people are a little tighter there, right? Sort of like our New York, where Southern California people are sort of spread out a little.
Right. Right. I live in Sorrento near Naples. And so it's very dense, very compact.
Do you know anyone who's contracted the virus?
No. The mother of one of my students thought she had it. And she made a mistake by going to the hospital because once she was there, they basically said, okay, now you can't leave. We have to test you. So it turned out she didn't have it, but she was in the hospital for 3 days while they were testing her.
Wow. And where's it at now? Is it feel like it's, you've gotten your hands around it? There's testing kits. Are you seeing some light at the end of the tunnel?
Today we got word that the daily number dropped by 50. So the 3 week, we've been in quarantine for, 3 weeks. We think that this is working.
I had heard, I was surprised that Italy was the second oldest nation, only to Japan, which for some reason I find curious, although I guess not. It makes sense. Got to be one nation's got to be the oldest and one's got to be the second oldest.
They're older, but remember the Italians live together. So, like my students, they live with their parents, their grandparents, their uncles. So the kids, everyone goes out and then comes home and the older people are there. And so I think that's a factor, the fact that everyone lives together.
Yeah, I'd heard that the proximity to the elderly people living together, being older populace in general, and then high levels of smoking sort of added a lot to it. Although there's going to be a lot of people smoking indoors now, right?
It's so funny when I go to walk to the supermarket, everyone's wearing the masks, but they pull down the mask so they can still smoke a cigarette.
That's good stuff.
Keep it real.
Like, really? Like, you're fighting for your life here. You have a mask, but you still have to smoke your cigarette. Everyone smokes.
Interesting.
Like kids, 14 and 15-year-olds smoke.
It's such a bizarre cultural thing. Do you, is your school system sort of the same as our school system in terms of when you go summer break, Easter, that kind of stuff? So you're just, this year is just shot for you?
Pretty much. There's word that we'll go back on the 3rd, like actually students attend the school on the 3rd of May. but that doesn't look likely.
Looks like Italy was probably as bad as it was. I'm trying to think of, was there anyone worse in Italy or any country that got, I mean, we don't know all that. We don't know all the statistics in China and things like that, maybe North Korea and stuff like that. But Italy was the worst of the European nations, right?
Yes.
I think that, and Gina or Brian or Chris or someone can look it up. It's either Switzerland or Sweden is not doing any of this.
Sweden isn't doing it. In fact, they're doing that herd, something like, what's it called? Herd, where they actually want to contaminate, they actually want to infect the people.
It's an interesting thing, but if anyone wants to know how the non-quarantine experiment is working, check out Sweden and see what's going on with them, because they're going a completely different direction with this thing. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of Sweden, although there's so many variables, you know, and I don't think people really understand how big a factor variables play. It's just something like smoking and age right there alone. It's going to be a completely different outcome than a younger group that was more health conscious that didn't smoke.
True. And also I think the healthcare system, I mean, the North is good and the North is already having problems. We're in the South and we're afraid of what, you know, the South is nothing compared to the North as far as the healthcare. I mean, it's terrible down here. And we're afraid if it gets down here to the extent of where it is in the North, it's going to be really scary.
What is the difference between the North and the South in terms of healthcare?
Well, the North is like, it's the business part of Italy. It's the hub, you know, and so it's like where Milan is. It's where Bologna is. And so that's where the money.
Trump's wives are those cities. Isn't Eric from Bologna? I mean, sired. Sorry. So they have more resources.
Right. The South is considered poor.
Is it a universal medical there, like the government runs it?
Yes.
So even though the government runs it, there's still quite a difference, but from spot to spot.
Yes.
And they seem to have more resources, more influential people.
Right.
More, little less expendable than the little smokers from the South.
Yeah. And also the North tend to look down at the South.
Interesting.
Like, oh, you guys just want to drink your coffee and go to the beach. And the South, just to the North, you just care about money.
Interesting. So, is the quarantining in the North going down the same way? Is it a completely universal countrywide? All the rules apply?
It was funny because the lockdown happened in the North first. And there was a day where the prime minister said, okay, at midnight tonight, the North will be completely locked down. Well, what happened was everybody got on the train and started coming south.
Oh.
Well, the problem with that is they were probably infected. Many people who were on that train were infected and they came to the south.
I have a question I always ask folks from distant lands, which is always very controversial. But I'll soft pedal it by saying, before I ask the question, which no one ever wants to answer, if you said to anybody in Los Angeles or in Southern California, who does all the work? Who are all the tradespeople? Who's mowing the lawns? Who's taking care of business here? They'd say Latinos. They'd say Mexicans mainly, but south of the border, that's who's doing all the work in Los Angeles. Whenever I talk to another culture, I always want to go, who are your Mexicans? And they always give a weird answer, like Argentinians or Serbs or something that sounds very weird to us, but probably makes perfect sense to you. So you got a bunch of white people in Italy. They're not mowing their own lawns. Who's doing it?
Well, or they are, like, the, you know, the grandfather's doing it, but I know what you're saying. It's either the East Europeans, like the Ukrainians and the Polish, or it's the Sri Lankan and the Indian.
So if you called a random plumber to come to your house and or come to your apartment and fix your water heater, not that you would because you're living in an apartment, but go along with me on this.
Yeah.
If you just opened whatever the phone book was or you went online and you just went, random guy, come to my house, who would probably show up to your house?
Either Italian or East European.
Oh, but there would be some paisans showing up. Huh?
Absolutely.
That's good that they're still.
There's a sense of like, there's a sense of community and family. So it's like, you know, the person who owns the shop is the husband, while the woman who owns the restaurant or something related is the wife. And so it's all stays in the family. And so it's like, oh, then my uncle is the plumber who takes care of all that. And then my aunt is the, you know, the babysitter. She takes care of, you know, so it's everything kind of stays within the family.
Brian, question?
Speaking of workers or laborers, Eric, you probably know this. I only heard it, so I don't know if it's true. But isn't the reason Italy experienced such a huge outbreak so fast was that they imported a lot of manual laborers from Wuhan? But didn't they have like an influx come from the – or that's what I heard.
I heard that too. My mom actually said that the other day. I hadn't heard that. If that's true, that's something that I did not know about. Okay. And it's not like you go to a work site and you see a bunch of Chinese people work. It's not like that. So
right. I didn't know if they'd come for some specific reason or some specific project or something.
If it is, I haven't seen it. And it's not something you typically see in this part. Again, now in the North, it might be different. Again, the North and the South are very different. There's almost a dividing line at Rome. And North of Rome and the South of Rome are very different.
All right.
You guys should have a civil war and settle this.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see.
No, it's like San Francisco and, you know, San Francisco and San Diego. You know, they're very, you know, even like Fresno and San Diego, they're very different from each other.
The people in the South are nicer in Italy.
Yeah, they are.
I definitely found that to be true.
That is true. Hi, Gina.
Hi.
Hey, Max Zapata, you can look at the. But there was some story. So, you know, China is very devious and they're interesting, which is they're not interested in winning any wars, any physical battles. But they're realizing that if they can get their tentacles spread out enough, own enough in other places, have a presence in other countries, that they can slowly start to dominate. And I think Italy was one of the places, and you can look it up, Chris, and I'll screw it up, but there's an act where they let China buy a big chunk of Italy or buy a lot of industrial whatever, and China's moving their people in and doing it kind of that way. It's like Chinese, like you go to Vancouver, Chinese own most of real estate in Vancouver, British Columbia. I mean, you go to Vancouver, you see a guy going down. Last time I was in Vancouver, I saw a Ferrari like 599, like a crazy V12 Ferrari. And I was like, who's driving that? It's like 28-year-old Chinese lady just go right by. Like, they're not going to send their troops over, but they are going to start buying up real estate and businesses, and people are going to come here. And I can't remember what the story was, Max Pata, but most of the European nations and the United States are saying, no, China, you can't own manufacturing of whatever in our state, in our country. But Italy, I think, was one of the only nations, because of their super high unemployment and the issues they've been having financially, who took the money from China and then gave away a big part of their nation. But we'll look into what that deal is. I can't remember what the name is. Do you have any?
You don't see that in the South, maybe in the North again, because of the money.
But right.
The South is so like communal and so connected to, you know, passing things down from the grandfather to the son, to the grandson, that the idea of giving like the hotel or the restaurant business that, you know, their great grandfather started or built the hotel to Chinese, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, good, but it's probably too small for them to be that interested in anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Max Pat, is anything I say, pull up anything on the computer? I don't know, China, Italy ownership.
Exactly a year ago, Italy signed a deal worth 2.5 billion euros with China. They signed a preliminary accord with China that made it the first country of the group of seven industrialized nations had joined the Chinese Belt and Road Infrastructure Project.
And, right.
So
China's like, we're not gonna beat you in a war, but we're gonna build all your shit on your soil, and then we're gonna have ownership of that. And that ostensibly is conquering you. in a way, right? I mean, no bloodshed, but we own that highway with the toll gates on it, or we toll booths on it. We own all this stuff that's in your country. It's a little bit, you know, it's interesting if you think about it. It's a little bit, pardon the pun, slippery slope. What I'm saying is
easy.
It's, we sit around and we go, like, well, look at our mentality, right? Look at any nation's mentality. You take Hollywood or you take the NBA, and they're like, we'll look the other way. We'll do business with China. This is big business for us. We sell a lot of product there. We make a lot of shoes. They make shoes there. Like, they make, they're big consumers of our shit. So if you, now that's the NBA and that's Hollywood and that's big business of any kind going, fuck it. Let them outsource it. Let them do it, whatever. But if you think about it, why wouldn't you take their money just to come into your nation and do what they have to do? It's just money. This is, you're trying to make money. So I had heard that Italy kind of made that deal with China, and it may end up being kind of a deal with the devil as we go down the road. And I think that other nations are trying not to take the money, but if you're Italy or you're Greece and you're tapped out of money and China's offering you billions of dollars, who's going to say no to that check?
It's pretty lucrative.
Eric, I'm seeing that some 200 Italian businesses are now controlled by Chinese owners, according to La Repubblica, while China's central bank holds stakes in several Italian blue chips like Fiat, Telecom Italia, and Eni, among others.
Yeah, watch out. It's super slow. People don't brag about it because nobody wants that kind of publicity, and China doesn't either. But imagine that. China's just slowly kind of taking ownership of all these businesses on your soil. It's a little insidious, but take a look at China, everybody. If we can get anything from this experience, can we just take a look at China a little bit and slow our roll? Eric, final thoughts. Thank you.
We think we're turning the corner. What I really appreciate is everyone has kind of stepped up, and even though they say, you know, I'm healthy, I'm okay, they're like, yeah, but what about, you know, the older people? And everyone's like, you're right. So we need to do this lockdown for the older people. So I thought, like, wow, like, even my students who have not stepped foot outside for 3 weeks, I mean, you know, 12, 13, 14 year olds have not been outside, are like saying, yeah, this is what we have to do. So
what,
it's very Ray Bradbury.
What's the timeline? Is there any hard out that we can think? Does anyone floated any numbers? You said the third of May.
Now it's the 18th. As far as the lockdown finishing, is the 18th is what we're thinking. Going back to school is, they're thinking the 3rd of May. But as far as like saying, okay, you can now come outside and somewhat have your normal life, we're hoping for the 18th of April.
And your school isn't, the kids aren't on vacation now. You're doing teleconferencing with them? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. They're doing the lessons. In fact, I've noticed they're actually, I mean, they really stepped up. They're actually becoming more independent and more serious learners than they were when they were coming to the actual school.
Oh, wow.
So, Adam, I have a question. You know, you always said you think we should bomb, you know, Germany one more time for what they did.
I do.
What are your thoughts on what we should do with China?
Well, First things first, everyone, stop fucking defending China. Mm-hmm. You can simultaneously hate Trump and hate China.
Yeah, just because, go around.
Yeah, because Trump hates China, then you got to defend China? That's fucking retarded. Hate Trump, hate China. It works super. Look, I hate my mom and my dad.
That's the truth.
If they're fighting with each other, you can agree.
Yeah, like if my dad, and guess who else hates my mom? My dad.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I lavish love and praise on my mom just because I hate my dad. You hate them both. Yeah. Like your parents. Understand?
The enemy of my enemy is still an enemy.
How horrible a Southern Italian would I make, Eric? Could you imagine the Corollas? We got the name. The name works.
Get the name.
As far as it goes.
No, I think you'd like it. You know, they like their you always said that you're lazy. I love listening to you. I've been actually, Adam, we've met before, and I have a picture of when we met.
Oh no.
I brought my student.
Is this security cam footage, Eric?
No, no, don't worry. Don't worry. I brought my students to the Loveline studio and
wow.
Oh my God.
Me with Adam and Drew and my two students.
Wow.
So great.
One dead, the other in jail, but still, yeah. That was a long time ago. Thanks for the influence. What year did you bring them to the Loveline studio?
That was 2001.
2001. Anyway, everyone should learn to hate China, but they should also learn not to trust China. I do not believe anything those people are saying, and they have designs on expansion. And you say what you want about many horrible cultures in our society. Some just hang out where they are and do ethnic cleansing for the next 2,000 years. Like, they're not really looking at franchising.
Cool.
Yeah. It's like, I talked to the guys who own the In-N-Out franchise like 10 years ago. I was like, how about an In-N-Out burger in Chicago? And they're like, nah, not our thing. We're like, why not? Everyone loves an In-N-Out burger. There's a line going around the block. And they're like, yeah, we're happy here. So a lot of countries are happy just ethnic cleansing and genocide and being horrible to women, everything on their own soil. But other countries would want to spread it out. And China wants to spread it. They're looking to expand. I think there's a book out there, Max Apata, a pretty famous book on this subject. It's basically just the 100-year plan. It's like China's 100-year plan is to just kind of dominate. And for all who are doing business with them right now, realize, you know, pay me now or pay me later. Like, yes, Italy, you did get paid, but you also gave away a lot of your country to China. And if other countries keep going down that road, if we go down that road, if we keep making films to curtail to Chinese audiences and stuff like that, it's going to just keep going. They're right. They got the cash, and we're all doing what anyone who wanted cash would do. So if we get anything out of this, let's all take a look at China when we're done and realize that it's probably China we should be talking about, a little less Russia and a little more China. All right. Eric, thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you so much. Like, being here, like being inside, not never being able to like go out. I listen to the podcasts. I go to the older podcasts and listen to those because, you know, once you've gone through one, it's like, okay, I have time to listen to more. Listen to the old Loveline. So my day is full of the podcast. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you. And let's check in. Stay safe in there. And we'll check in periodically.
Absolutely.
Eric Nichols, everybody. We'll take a quick break. Jason Van Camp is going to join us. He's a Green Beret and everything else, and we'll talk to him about everything I'm interested in right after this. Let's see.